Well, call it a newsy day here in Berea would be the understatement of understatements. Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we are happy to be joined right now by Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And Mary Kay, I know you're a busy person right now, so where to start with you? I mean, just, first of all, how much you and I walked in together today into the building, and we looked at each other. You weren't shocked by this, and you told anyone who would be listening to you, that would include editors, everyone else, hey, this is what you expected.
Absolutely, this is what we expected. And I will tell you, from the very first moment that Brian Hoyer was signed by this team, I think we all had to know and understand that this moment could happen very, very soon. We know how Mike Lombardi feels about him.
Yeah.
We know that everyone feels that he has some type of potential. And so I was not surprised. I would have to say that I was more surprised Monday when Chud basically said, hey, I'm considering both Jason Campbell and Brian Hoyer. That's when we were like, okay, we can kind of see where this is going now, because all indications were that Jason Campbell was the number two.
Yeah.
And, you know, and here we are with Brian Hoyer.
And some of us thought it might be, well, it's a competitive thing, right? Keep the Vikings guessing. But I know you and Nathan and a bunch, we talked about it that day. The legitimacy of Hoyer being the starter was always there in the background.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can look back to comments that Mike Lombardi made with NFL Network in 2011, where he's talking about that, you know, that he thought that both Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer were starting caliber quarterbacks, and that he at that time also said that if he were the Browns, he would be playing Brian Hoyer, starting Brian Hoyer ahead of Colt McCoy. So, you know, we know the background, we know the history. Now, having said all that, I do think that Rob Chudzinski did make this decision. I don't think that they're going to. I don't think they're going to hire a football coach and then mandate that he do something. I believe that they let him make this decision.
I agree with that. Were you surprised that Chud did not even say, yes, if Brandon Whedon comes back, he's automatically the starter again?
No, I am not surprised about that at all. And you know what? We have seen it. You know, Brian Hoyer had firsthand experience with a quarterback in Tom Brady that went in there for Drew Bledsoe and Drew, you know, and won that starting job. So he is very familiar with how these things can go. And I wasn't surprised about that at all. There is no such thing anymore in the NFL about, you know, you are going to keep your job no matter what. If somebody is outplaying you for whatever reason, they're going to get the job.
You can lose your job because of injury.
Yes.
And this scenario is really kind of being put out there now for Brandon Whedon. You wonder if today we now, or we wonder if last Sunday we saw the last of him as a Browns quarterback. That's potential.
It is possible.
Just given what the head coach said today in response to that question, and given now the, if you're Brandon Whedon, what are you thinking when you see this? Maybe his main concern now has got to be that thumb. He's going to see a specialist tomorrow. So that story is another story ongoing. And look, if it turns out that the thumb is bad and doesn't allow him to play for a while or the rest of the year, maybe that'll just be chalked up to that, but I think there's another story going on here with regard to the dynamic of Whedon and the Browns.
There is absolutely another story going on here, and the story is it looks to be that another first-round quarterback probably isn't going to work out here. And we all kind of knew that that was probably going to be the case going into the season, but the writing is definitely on the wall today. What Chud is basically willing to acknowledge that when Brandon is healthy, there's no guarantee that he'll have a starting job. We knew coming in that Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi were not enamored with Brandon Whedon and that he had a lot of proving to do. Even if they never told us that, they left no stone unturned in the offseason to try to upgrade that position. They really studied those young quarterbacks very hard. So we knew he was behind the eight ball, and if he was going to keep his job, he was going to have to go in there right away and light it up. And I'll tell you what, even just that first game, you know, the bloom was off the rose.
The bloom certainly was off the rose, and you have to look back right now, and I know we're only 2 weeks into the season, Mary Kay, but to think about the fact that it is a realistic possibility that a quarterback drafted in the first round of the 2012 NFL draft may have his tenure come to an end already here in Cleveland. The other two early picks, Mitchell Schwartz, obviously at the beginning of the second round, has given up more sacks than any tackle in the NFL. Trent Richardson is struggling mightily and has the fewest number of 15-yard runs as a percentage basis of any running back in the NFL, over 250 carries, including 2012 and 2013. And you look at the talent that was available to be drafted in this draft, and at some point you have to wonder if this is going to go down as one of the biggest, maybe the worst drafts in the history of the NFL in terms of what it could do to a franchise.
Well, I will tell you, Joe Banner and Mike Lombardi, had they been running that draft, they would not have traded up to get Trent Richardson.
No. Nope.
They would have not taken Trent Richardson even at number four, I can tell you that.
Yep.
They would not have taken Brandon Whedon, and they would not have drafted Mitchell Schwartz. And then, spinning it forward, there's no way that they would have used their second-round pick on Josh Gordon. So you're talking...
He might be the best of the bunch, though, by far.
But at that point, they still felt
sure.
that was a reach. So when you look at those four key picks that would have been the centerpiece of the Mike Holmgren offense,
right,
they would not have done it. So what it gets them off the hook a little bit, though, because it's not like we're saying, you know, the new regime did this. They didn't. They are paying for some of the sins of the past.
Yeah, I think this, what we're saying here and what is really happening here is much bigger than just talking about one situation. This is a broader perspective. You are so right that Joe Banner, Michael Lombardi coming into this team with the, you know, we hear about the plan and there is one, and that plan doesn't include most of the main parts that were left behind here because they didn't believe in those parts, and distancing themselves from those parts is what happens. That's what you do. Because the other thing that works in their favor, Mary Kay, I think, is that they can point to the newness, the new arrivals who are all on the defensive side, who are all doing a very nice job on a defense that gives this team its only prayer week in and week out.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, maybe there was some thought to, hey, let's roll this offense out here so people can kind of see that this wasn't going to work. You know, let's put Brandon Whedon out there. Let's put this whole, Mike Holmgren-type offense on the field so that everyone can see this wasn't going to be a Super Bowl champion offense. And then people will understand when we start to dismantle it and when we start over and when we rebuild it. And that way people don't have to be all up in arms about the fact that we dismantled. You know, these three picks, the three picks that the Browns had there, number one, number 22, and number 37, those can transform...
Change a franchise.
A franchise,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay? And I think, you know, now these guys have the opportunity to say, look, we showed you, you know, we tried to kind of show you that maybe that wasn't going to happen. So when we blow this up, you'll understand why we had to do it. And I think the other thing to look at here is, you know, now do you try to trade Brandon Whedon? I mean, do you try to just say, hey, maybe we can, you know, cut our losses and try to get something out of this? If they know going forward that they're basically done, maybe they try to do something like that.
That's an interesting scenario, too. But the damaged goods part of that right now complicates it.
I think it definitely complicates it. And I think that there's going to be some interesting decisions made when, you know, Brandon Whedon is going to see a specialist on this thumb. We don't know how long he will be out. And I think there are going to be some interesting decisions that could be made here regarding his future on this team as an active member of the roster for the rest of the season. We'll just have to see how that plays out. So Brian Hoyer is the starter. We're going to move forward with that. You heard Rob Chudzinski say that it was for a game plan reason, getting the ball out quicker, which the stats back up. He got the quickest release of any of the quarterbacks in the preseason this year, about 2.5 seconds. How do you see this playing out against Minnesota now?
Well, you know, one funny thing that comes to mind as we're talking about this real quick is I don't know if you guys watched this drill that they did recently, or maybe you guys have seen it, where they throw the ball into this net downstairs, and it's almost like a little circus game where you could win a big stuffed animal,
right.
And you try to get it into this, you know, into these holes, into these pockets,
yeah.
In the net.
And they're at different,
yeah.
Different
heights.
One's middle, one's high, yeah.
And they went, and we were all in there to watch this a couple of weeks ago, and Brandon went first, and then Jason went, and then Brian went. And Brian, the other guys were, you know, maybe they'd get one out of four or something like that. Brian was firing it into the little pockets like you would not believe. And I'll tell you, you know, a big strong arm is good, but if the big strong arm isn't getting the ball where it needs to go, when it needs to be there, then, you know, what good is it? And, you know, we have seen that there have been accuracy issues
sure.
With that gun. So, you know, hopefully for them, Brian can be a little bit more accurate, maybe put a little bit more touch on the ball. I think that's kind of what they're hoping, but he does get it out quickly. I would say in this game in Minnesota, you know, it's another good defense again. There's a lot of things to think about, but he does have Josh Gordon coming back, and I think that will help him.
The only part of that, I hear exactly what you're saying. When you talk about touch, it's about when you talk about accuracy on touch, that matters. And we saw far too many Brandon Wheaton throws that came in at like 60 miles an hour that should have been more like about 30 maybe in certain circumstances. And people have called him out for that. We had Rich Gannon on the show last week who did the CBS game in Baltimore. He pointed that out. But it's a change. If that's the strength, and by all accounts, that is the strength that Brian Hoyer brings to the table, it seems like it's going to lead to a philosophical change. If, in fact, it's contained to one game, one game plan against Minnesota, and we're not totally sitting here buying that, I don't think, it makes you wonder about all that this offense, what Rob Chudzinski and North Turner have stood for as offensive minds and what they want out of their team. We see the fit being the big, strong arm quarterback. They don't have that now, and yet that's their choice right now.
Well, you know what? These are guys that are smart enough to take what a player can do and the player that is handed to them or that they are going to be starting that week and put that player in a position to be successful in whatever way they need to do that. So if you don't have the big gun, you'll find another way to get the job done. They will go and find out what Brian Hoyer can do well, what passes he's comfortable with, and they'll find a way to put him in successful situations. And if it doesn't work out, they can go to Jason Campbell at that point.
Yeah, they certainly can. So we got a new quarterback, Brian Hoyer. Changes in the receiving core with Greg Little being dropped, from the starting lineup for Devon Bess. What's your take on the Greg Little situation going forward? I mean, he's been, and we threw out the numbers, the worst receiver in the NFL over the first 2 weeks. 2.7 yards per target is the worst in the entire National Football League.
That is one of the biggest disappointments of the first two games, I would have to say, because this was a fantastic opportunity for Greg Little to step up with Josh Gordon out and really prove that he can be a number one in his own right and to really kind of, you know, make this offense go in the absence of Josh Gordon and say, hey, you know, I can be that number one guy too, because when Josh comes back, I know that's what you guys want him to be. He wasn't able to do that. There were balls, of course, that we all saw that were hitting him right in the hands that he wasn't securing. Now, that might not be so bad, except for the fact that when you do factor in then that he did go out again on Monday night and commit three more traffic violations, I think that's a factor too. And nobody's going to admit that publicly. This decision is based on the field performance. We're told that it is based on the field performance. However,
well, it didn't help.
It doesn't help.
But if you've got the on field performance down, I think there's less. That becomes less of a factor. It doesn't speak well of him, and he's got to learn. All that effort he puts on the jugs machine to help improve his hands, wrote this for ClevelandBrowns.com, put that into the more mature off-field stuff, and, hey, learn how to say, give me a ride. Just to learn those words.
Exactly. And you know what? I mean, I do think that, again, this is going to be attributed to performance because they don't want to air their personal laundry in the media. But there has got to be a little bit of, hey, you were out once again doing what you were not supposed to be doing when you have promised to us and to everyone else that you're not going to do that stuff anymore.
Mary Kay, thank you so much for the time and the breakdown, and we will talk soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
She is Mary Kay Cabot. Check out her great work at Cleveland.com, and she covers the Browns also for the Plain Dealer. Joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, Nathan Seger is breaking all the equipment on Cleveland Browns Daily this Football Wednesday, Newsy Wednesday edition, and we've got Gerard Cherry coming up at the top of the hour. Much more ahead on ESPN 850 WKNR.